Texas. This is Mike Paulson from up north, the Siberia of the 48 states, with our Cup of Goodness program, talking about the goodness of God, how it should be leading people to repentance, and all it's doing, it seems like anymore, is making people angry, making pastors mad at you for asking him the question, like, I've been hearing this stuff from this guy in North Dakota. Sure does make a lot of sense with this King James Bible. And then they just get mad. So we talked about that yesterday's program, and today's program, I'm going to ask another question. That question is, why does it bother you or bother so many people that I'm King James only? You know, there are people out there, they're Christians, they say they're Christians, and yet they deny me the freedom to have the belief that the King James 1611 Bible is the inspired word, it's pure, it's the preserved words of God, it's from the mouth of God. And most folks base their criticism on what somebody else has called some kind of a study or so. So the people that criticize me, or the King James crowd, are usually just following a man as that man has told them what's wrong with the King James Bible. You would even deny me the ignorant position of believing that the Bible is being infallible. That's an ignorant position, they say I am. And they preach a tolerance, they preach a love of Jesus, but when it comes to a King James Bible, or when it comes to following Paul, they have little or no tolerance. And that's exactly what they say Christianity ought to be. So I've come up with a couple of questions for folks. How many people am I truly leading to hell because I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? Now, Paul talks about, we know the terror of the Lord. But what Paul talks about is the goodness of God, not the severity of God. Romans 11:22 talks about that. So that severity was given to the Jews. I've said this, at least 77 times. So that severity was given to the Jews because they had the law they had to follow. And Jesus came down on this earth and walked the law, had to fulfill the law. And if anybody wouldn't follow him, well, the severity of God was put on them. Then when they killed him, the severity of God was put on them. Was it because God is such a mean God? No, just look at what took place. He offered them his son. And if you read in Exodus 12, God offered himself to be the lamb. So it's not that he hasn't made it possible for everybody. And then they come along here with the risen Savior. What he has done is he's actually taken care of the law. He fulfilled the law. He walked the walk. And he takes that righteousness, that sinless righteousness, and imputes it to those that put their faith and trust in him. And that makes people mad to believe that? Let me rephrase that. That makes Christians mad to say things like that? And then to think that this risen Savior, well, he went to Paul, and Paul's got book after book after book about the teachings of the risen Savior. And the scriptures say that Paul met with Christ, spiritual circumcision, we call it. All these things. And it makes him mad. I thought, Festus with King Agrippa said, Paul, this much learning, this makes you mad. Why would that make you look like a nutcase with what you teach about the goodness of God? It has to be King James only, because that's the only Bible that talks about the goodness of God. That's the only Bible that tells people to follow Paul. The modern Bibles tell people to imitate Paul. Does that not seem like such a big deal? Well, those modern Bibles also tell you to imitate Jesus Christ. And it's funny, because nobody's written to me yet to ask, where does it do that? It even tells you to imitate God. And here's one. It even tells people to imitate their pastor. Oh, really? Listen, you write to me, and I'll tell you. But you don't want to find out. I think one of the reasons people don't want to believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God is because they've got this mixed-up belief that if they follow the King James Bible as the only Word of God, then that's a mean-spirited book that teaches, this angry God. Well, that's because what people have heard in religion the last 100 or so years in America has been a false teaching that the Jews were told. If the people would understand what the risen Savior, what he has done for those Gentiles who put their faith and trust in him, to those Gentiles who put their faith and trust in him, I wouldn't think they would get angry. I would think they would be thrilled to learn that stuff. Well, see, they don't realize that this risen Savior imputes his righteousness, charges his righteousness to your account. Really? Yeah, he does. It bothers people. Go back to my question. Really, how many people am I leading to hell? Because I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God and it's infallible. It's inspired and it's preserved. How many people am I leading to hell because I believe this Bible to be the Word of God? Here's another question. How many young people or how many young Christians will grow up with a stunted, with a deformed, with a lack of knowledge of the Bible if I teach them to read it with the belief that it is infallible and it is the very words of God? These young people, what harm do I do to them by telling them this is the Word of God? See, if it's not the Word of God, then why would they even want to read one at all? Any Bible. If nobody says their Bible is the Word of God, well, just look at everybody today. They aren't reading Bibles anymore. Not only is the King James Bible not the very words of God, well, they do admit the other Bibles aren't. So now that they've destroyed the whole concept of written scriptures, the Bible's not important. But what's important? Your feelings? What your pastor teaches you? Because, see, God talks to the pastor still. And we're talking Baptist pastors. They act and sound and teach and preach and demand just like the Pope for the Catholic Church. So these people today, I don't blame them for not being interested in any Bible. Well, they're not. What else do they look to besides their feelings? Music. Music seems to be the big push, the big power in their life. They get their doctrine from the music. They do? Yes, the CCM, the Contemporary Christian Music Religion, has their own statement of faith, and they don't believe that the Word of God is the King James Bible. They don't believe in the risen Savior. They don't believe in the goodness of God. They don't teach that stuff. They don't teach anything about Paul. But people sure do like the music. Matter of fact, music is a power that's bringing all the different denominations together. Really? Yeah, that'd be another program someday. So, I guess I'm teaching kids a terrible thing to teach them that the Bible is the Word of God, King James Bible. Another question, what is wrong with taking this King James Bible and telling a Christian, you can trust every word in this Bible, every word, every comma? Can you say that about your Bible? No, they can't say that about their Bible. Not only can't they say that about the Bible, they don't say that about their Bible. Second part of that question is, nowadays, they don't care. Do you care? If I say this King James Bible, you can trust every word. You can trust every punctuation. And then I say, but you can't say that about your Bible, can you? You don't even try to say that about your Bible. They've never told you that about your Bible. But like I say, do they even care anymore? Here's another one. If I were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and find out about my judgment seat of Christ, how much of my reward when he tosses my works into the fire, how much of my reward will I lose for telling people that this Bible's the Word of God, inerrant, inspired, preserved, it's his words? Doesn't that sound kind of weird that God would burn that kind of work up? And yet you've got people that are going around telling people what's wrong with this Bible. Well, here's what's wrong with this NIV. You need to get the newest NIV. You need to get the New Living NIV. Well, now you need to get the Message Bible. Then you need to get the Living. Which one of these guys, are they all going to get rewarded for that confusion? And here comes this guy who says, well, this King James Bible's been around since 1611. And it says the same words today, and it says that these are the scriptures. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, the risen Christ. And I look to Paul for my apostle, not the other 12, because that's what this Bible says. And it tells me how to rightly divide the Bible so I don't get mixed up with tribulation doctrine and Old Testament doctrine and gospel doctrine. That kind of teaching and that kind of belief is going to burn up in the judgment seat of Christ? Seriously? Those of you that are listening this morning, do you really disagree with the goodness of God? Let me read that to you. Because if you do, congratulations, you're mentioned in the Bible. Yeah, you are. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Do you despise that teaching? Do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Well, what are the riches of his goodness? Well, I've got 77 programs that tell you about it. And then he finishes that verse, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know what would get you excited about God? His goodness. Then I keep going to that chapter in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, because, you know, for those people that have a doubt about the rapture because they've talked about it for so long and so many people have picked the dates, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and it does sound like a pretty wild event. You see, what they don't realize is when Jesus went to the Gentiles through Paul, and he puts his Jews on a back burner for now. People say that he's totally cast away his people, but no, it says in verse 1 of chapter 11, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. So those people that are teaching that God is done to the Jews, that already gets dispelled in the King James Bible. But you go through that and you find out that he has actually gone on to the Gentiles. And that's the goodness of God. That is the only Bible. Can you hear me? While you're doing dishes, working in your garage, driving to work, just happened to accidentally listen to this program this morning. The goodness of God is only taught by Paul in a King James Bible. And listen, that makes people mad. Well, remember what it said? I'll read it again. Romans chapter 2. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And then Romans 11:22 says, listen, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity. Read your Bible. That's the Jews. But toward thee, and he's talking to the Gentile nation, not to an individual person. He's talking to the Gentile nation. Read chapter 11. You will see that is as plain as the sun that comes up in the morning. But he says, but toward thee, the Gentile nation, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. There will come a day that when the Gentile nation is tired of the goodness of God, they're tired of hearing about Paul, they're tired about the King James Bible. It says in Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is one single King James Bible. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, thy word is truth, it says in John, and shall be turned unto fables. And actually, Paul calls them Jewish fables. I'll show that later. Okay. So, this is what we're talking about this morning. And this makes people mad. It does. It really does. I have had so many people get angry talking about this stuff. I have so many pastors that have gotten upset over this stuff. I had a pastor jumping up and down in my fair booth one day, and he was just irate. He was losing his whole cool because he was preaching everything out of Hebrews. Hebrews? Come on, pastor. Who are the Hebrews? Jews. Hebrews. Jews. It wasn't even written to me. He was just getting so angry. I had another pastor tell me, well, in fact, here's the story. I had two guys. They were both, one was a pastor and one was a teaching position in his church. And one of those brothers was studying the Paul thing. And he was starting to ask questions and he was starting to figure this thing out. Well, so was the other brother. But they weren't telling each other because they thought it was so crazy that this is what they were coming up with. And then they both found my website and they heard all this stuff and they really got excited. So they asked me to come and preach at their church and teach them some more things, but preach at their church. So I did. And the one who is a pastor, this is as serious as can be, said to me, I believe exactly what you're saying. That is exactly what that Bible should be, that King James Bible, rightly divided, looking to Paul. He said, but I don't dare teach that to my people because they just won't get it and they won't stay. It was in the state of Washington, I'll tell you that much. And now that man has graduated onto a bigger and better Baptist church, and yet he knows what that Bible teaches. And the other guy, he went off to some seminaries, and now he's destroyed a Paul preaching church that existed and has gone back into the community crowd, and he's just flaked off. That's what's happened. So when I teach this stuff, people get really bothered by it. Another question. If no Bible version says that it's infallible, inspired, preserved, perfect, what should I tell my grandchildren, for example, if they ever get a chance to read Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, that's about preservation in my King James Bible. But see, theirs that mom and dad have doesn't say that. What do you want me to tell them? See? Another question. Do I honestly have to have a lot of money so I can go study Hebrew and Greek at some Bible college somewhere so I can understand the words of God? Do I need to have those lessons? Do I have to be rich to understand the truth? Or should I just trust my pastor? After all, he's got a degree in Bible college, and that Bible college has totally told them what's wrong with the King James Bible and how you can find all these other Bibles. You can get the real truth if you go to the Greek. What Greek? How many different Greek texts are there? Which one are you going to go to? Where do you come up with this stuff? Another question. This happens a lot with King James pastors. I found out this more to be more true than I realized for years. But there's a lot of King James pastors out there. They preach from a King James Bible, and they keep talking about the Word of God. But they'll never say the King James Bible, but they will preach from it, even though they don't believe it to be the Word of God. Why do they do that? Because, see, they can pull off their Greek, and then they can show off their brain. They can show off their studies. And yet I'll do a program here one of these days about how I'll show you how the Greek is so mixed up, it's actually almost funny if it wasn't so serious. And it talks about agape phileo love. You ever heard of that, agape phileo love? That's a Greek thing. And I'll show you, but this, we'll look at the agape phileo love sometime, and I'll show you how crazy the Greek thing, people do the Greek thing. It's amazing. Okay, here's another question. Which Bible do you use in your private studies? You'll use your King James Bible, but which one do you study? And if you do study that one, why don't you preach from that one in your church? Here's another question. Why can't you just leave us ignorant people that believe in a King James Bible and believe in Paul, rightly dividing the word of truth? Why can't you just leave us alone and let us go on talking about it? Why do you have to get so upset? Boy, I tell you, I've seen them stomping every place. And I know there's some listeners to me this morning that are experiencing that right now. You just go talk to the pastor about this stuff, and they'll just start getting pretty upset right off the bat. Now remember, they killed Jesus because of envy. They put Joseph in the hole because of envy. Bible says they tried to kill Paul because of envy. So they're trying to get you to shut this thing down because of envy. They want you to be excited about the church and about the pastor and about the programs. They don't want you really excited about your Bible. I know of what I speak. I have talked to enough pastors. They just tweak out over this stuff. Okay, so come on. What's wrong with believing the King James Bible only? What's wrong with looking to Paul only? Now, don't get me wrong. You still need to study Genesis to Revelation. You still need to know the garden stories. You need to know what went on in the desert and the wilderness trips with Moses and the law and all that stuff. Leviticus, all those things. You still need to know about Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and there's a lot of things to know. There's a lot of stuff there for us, no doubt. You need to know about the Gospels. You need to know about what he says to the Hebrews. You need to know what he says to the, what Peter says to the people during the tribulation. Yeah, you need to know all that stuff. But as far as applying in your life to please God, that's Paul. What do you have to offer in this place? Hundreds of different Bible versions, they all say different things. People go into Greek when there's all sorts of different kinds of Greek texts out there. Nobody has the originals anyway, so how can they go back to that thing? Go to Luke chapter 4. Let me show you something. Go back to the Gospels, okay? Luke chapter 4, verse 4. And it says here, Jesus answered, talking to the devil here, Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, if you open up your Bible to look this up, and you have an NIV, RSV, ABC, DEF, and a XYZ Bible, you should notice that by the phrase, but by every word of God is missing. See, the new teaching, the modern teachings in Christianity today, they'll be glad to say you don't need to live by bread alone, but they take out, but by every word of God. They don't want you living by the word of God. They actually don't want you living by bread alone. They want you to give them your bread, but that's another story here. Now, let's finish this up. I've still got a few minutes left here. I'm going to show you, and if you've got your Bible handy, open that thing up and look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. So I'm going to read it to you in a King James Bible. I'm going to read it to you in an NIV. Who knows what revision, what level this NIV is, but this is NIV. But first of all, here's King James Bible, chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved. partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, referring to those first two verses, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the risen Savior, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, which is only taught by Paul. And here he describes that corrector. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. That's a pretty powerful couple of verses there on the modern Bible preachers, the pastors, the correctors, the professors. It really nails them hard. Now listen to this NIV Bible. In case you miss it, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, it turns the whole thing around and puts it on us. I'll show you what I mean. Chapter 6, verse 1. All who are under the yoke of slavery. Slavery? King James Bible, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters. You're a servant when you go to work. You work for a boss. You work for an administration. You work for your CEO. You work for your company. You're not a slave. NIV is big on the word slave, by the way. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit in their service are believers and dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. Now, here we go. It gets more tight here. More tight? Tighter, whatever. Verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teachings, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Totally reversed everything. They use that verse in their NIV to show that we are the ones that are trying to stir up controversy. We are the ones that want to quarrel about words. We are the ones that think that godliness is a means to financial gain. That is not what the scriptures say at all. It says, supposing that gain is godliness. In other words, if you've got numbers in your church, big numbers, that proves you're godly. That means if you're being blessed financially, you're godly. That's what Paul is warning about. Supposing that gain is godliness. And we're not the ones stirring up the trouble for words. King James Bible's been around since 1611. Who brought in all these other words and these other issues? Certainly wasn't us. Do you see the change and the fact that it makes us look like we're the bad guys? Being a bad guy is to believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he gave us teachings, and he gave us teachings to be taught to the Gentiles, and that we have a liberty in Christ. That's a bad thing? That's what it says here. That's it for this morning. Just kind of a quick thing here about people get so upset about things. They really do. And they're actually what they are, they're getting mad at God. They're getting mad at what he said. They're getting mad at Jesus Christ. They're getting mad that he thought he could teach anybody anything after he rose. They're getting mad at Paul. Who is he to talk about anything? And these guys that preach the King James Bible as the Word of God, they tend to forget that there's a lot of books in the Bible that maybe shouldn't be there then. I mean, if we don't look to them, why are they even in there? If we just need the four Gospels, what's the point of having the rest of the Bible there? Hey, those are pretty good questions. I know, they're just simple questions. I just want people to understand the goodness of God is nothing to get bothered about. Check it out. Come on back for the next program. We'll talk to you Sunday morning. We'll be going through Ephesians. We'll be into chapter 5. And we'll be back on Monday with some more cup of goodness. Marvelous stuff. Probably the best cup of goodness he can give us is the fact that he kept his words and preserved them to us for this day. And so we open up that Bible, rightly divide that thing, look to Paul. We know exactly what's going on in the world today. We know exactly what's going on in America. We know why. We know what's going on. We know who has already taken over Christianity, the Antichrist. We know who's coming in Revelation chapter 6. This all takes place before Revelation chapter 19. In fact, Romans chapter 11, 22 tells us what has to take place before the second coming, as people like to call it. Before he comes back, God has got to shut down the Gentiles because they're tired of hearing about him and his goodness. That's where we're at. King James Bible. Marvelous book.